As Judy said, our theme for November is grace. But don't forget the larger question, what does it mean to be a people of grace? I said that the way I understand grace is central to my overall religious understanding. I may not know how to live as gracefully as I'd like to, or as you'd like me to, but I experience grace as present and very real. Some of you may have the vague memory that we just talked about this. That's because just last winter, the March 16th service was graceful living. My service write-up, I said, the essence of my religious awareness began with the profound and deep experience of something more, a grace beyond me, or more than my actions would seem to have created on their own. Well, grace is not just something that we ever just do. It's a sense and presence that we live in and with, more or less gracefully. I know that for many of us, grace is a word that's a lot like faith. That is, even if I'm sharing and think I'm sharing a very different understanding than the one you grew up with, it's not an easy word or may not be an easy word for you to use. The first sentence in that Soul Matters small group materials packet begins, "A people of grace." It's not a phrase we usually use to describe ourselves. But it then goes on to say that we are reclaiming it as our own word that acknowledges and celebrates the giftedness of life. Celebrating the giftedness of life. The reading even suggests that grace helps bring together in our diversity of particular religious experiences and backgrounds. All of us find common ground around celebrating the gifts we didn't expect, create, or deserve. We might have to add that there are a few of us who just can't believe that we didn't create them or don't deserve them. but there are those moments where we don't. Whereas once we fought about who is the giver of grace and whether or not there even was one, we now don't have to do that. I would say we go deeper than that in our exploration and understanding, but grace is a word we have come to value more in our own understanding than we would have 10 years ago. We began Joys and Concerns, Stones of Compassion and Community with a little bit introducing Friday evening in the marriage of Alan and Jeffrey Paul. I'd like to tell you that they sort of shared with you, it came together quickly, it came together spur of the moment. And it was just 2 weeks ago, and then we said it's going to be really simple, and it's just going to be this. But then as everybody got into it, they all had ideas, and it grew and changed several times in the midst of busy schedules and trying to pull it together. And then, because everybody who, there was a small group of us, contributed and did a little something, it came together in this special space. It was festive and moving. It was celebratory and deep. It was so much more than the sum of its parts. I would say it surprised me and gave me chills at just several different times. And I think that's probably true of everybody who was there in that time and space. It was so much more. And it shared and shone joy and hope for all of us there and out into the world. Literally out into you, among you, and you heard some of that. It was a graceful evening, the grace that attends just such efforts and makes them more than you can anticipate. It's a creative force beyond all of our preparation. When we do our work well and leave room in our sufficient efforts, more often than not, they become more than we understand. That's part of how I understand grace in general. It resides in, or is that sense of something more that makes the day or the moment special, the time more real and alive. It is something beyond effort that makes the effort seem effortless. It is the unplanned connection that connects. Grace is the getting it together that isn't so much gotten as that it arrives. It is that which creates the more and the spaces between and around what you do. I think the adjective trusted is important, as in trusted to be in the spaces. There is a grace of feeling, as in feeling right with the world, a belonging of my being to being, and a felt sense of that. That's the grace of right relationship. There is grace of imagination and of insight, a new way of seeing and understanding, grace of accomplishment, grace of movement. There's the unexpected ease of being centered in difficult times. We speak of being in the flow. That's graceful. This congregation is graceful. Look around. It may not always feel like that, but it is. It is a community that supports and creates the possibility and the reality of something more. More peace, more love, more justice, more joy, compassion, insight, belonging, connection, ease, and comfort. Grace, I say, is born, lives, grows, and finds us here. This is a graceful community, and we benefit from thinking of ourselves as such. Grace works. Grace works. Grace works. It does, and we are. I've said that the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville is the most graceful community in Hendersonville for those of us who are drawn to its doors. That shouldn't surprise us. This congregation emerges from two faith traditions that can be understood as graceful. For over 200 years, they said, yes, life is like this. You can trust it to have grace in it. You can trust it in this way. The theologies and orientation of both traditions are grounded in, as Welch calls it, that surplus connoted by grace, the deep joy of loving and being loved, the amazing changes possible in people's lives. There's our universalist tradition where the gift of life and love is given to all. The sun shines on everybody. An inclusive universe where we all measure up because we are. And we are beings with the capacity for right relations with others, with nature, and with ourselves. We don't think so much in terms of arming ourselves against the forces of evil. We're more concerned with aligning ourselves with the nature of good. We enable work for justice. We are that incarnational faith that makes the inclusive vision real as we engage in practice and service for love, justice, and peace. You know what that sentence is? The last phrase in our mission statement. We strive for the beloved community where belonging is felt and resilient relational connections make good potential real. Much of what we do here generously turns out to be larger than the sum of our individual actions. Resilient relational connections that enable work for justice, the deep joy of loving and being loved, the amazing changes possible in people's lives. Grace as a power of relationship that is more than we can produce solely by our own volition. In this inclusive relational universe, then, every day is graceful. Every day is that which we did not make and cannot create. And we say thank you. Something more. Right here, right now, grace works.
Grace, as Jim and the Soul Matters packet discuss, is not a word or a concept that we use have readily embraced. It feels too Christian, too heavily theological, too fraught with meanings that do not resonate for us. But grace is one of my very favorite concepts. Just thinking about grace brings a smile to my face, a skip to my step, and sings a song in my heart. Why? Simply for me, because grace is a gift, a true gift, an unexpected surprise of life and love and beauty and joy, calling me, calling us to be alive, to be love, to be beauty, to be joy, to be. Grace, as Soul Matters reminds us, is life's way of surprising us when we are at the end of our ability or the end of a rope. that astounding fact that no matter how tragic or bleak things get, and they do, the bad simply can't shut out all the good. The darkness can't squeeze out all the light. Grace is that ineffable presence of the spirit of life all around us, beckoning to us when we need it most. It is that dove appearing to Noah with the olive branch in its beak, signaling that the rains have stopped and the waters have receded, and providing hope to all in the ark. It is that soft, subtle voice within that provides us just the inspiration we need to move forward out of some frustration in our lives. It is that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, and no, not the oncoming train, but the hoped-for way out of confusion, tumult, or sadness. It sometimes appears as the fragile bloom of a crocus after months of the darkness of winter and the seemingly endless blankets of immobilizing snow, signaling the coming warmth and blossoming of new spring. Sometimes it manifests as a smile on a stranger's face when we are feeling blue and lost, a smile that touches our spirits just so. Sometimes it appears as the random act of kindness that calls us out of ourselves by its very intrusion into our daily reality. And sometimes it is the welcome of our four-legged companions, their puppy kisses, cuddles, or purring, lap-filling love that generously calls us, calling us to the generosity of life and love. Grace appears in our lives in a myriad of ways, beckoning our souls, calling us beyond ourselves, calling us out of the misery and sorrow, pain, anger of the moment, and back to life and love and beauty and joy. When we are lost and sorrowful, it comes in some way to remind us, to awaken us, to call us out of ourselves into that something more that resonates in our souls. And all grace asks of us is that we notice, that we open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds and pay attention. Grace is there, always, beckoning if to us if we but notice. And sometimes, the clearest manifestation of grace is through me to awaken you, or through you to awaken me. The Soul Matters guidebook for this month, and it's available on our website, recommends to each of us in this congregation a spiritual exercise they call Give Grace a Hand. The exercise is to find a way to bring grace into someone else's life with one big, giant rule. The recipient of your grace moment cannot know that you were involved. The goal of the exercise is not to do a good deed. As much as people need the food, it's not to do that good deed, but it is to act in someone's life in such a way that convinces them that life has good. The exercise is to be a blessing, a grace to someone else. It is to collude with and abet grace. How many of you have ever done something like that? Have secretly been a part of giving someone else the gift and experience of grace? Those of you who have know what a delight it can be and how much it can fill your own heart and soul to secretly give to another. And those of you who haven't had the experience, it's one I wholeheartedly recommend. Try it this month as part of our Grace Works. The hardest part is, of course, keeping the secret, because we want to witness the other person's face, to see grace working in their hearts. It is tempting in the aftermath to ask, "Did you?" But in this challenge, and sometimes in life, it is appropriate to let the secret be secret. To be grace. To be a vehicle for grace ourselves without the credit. Through the years, this righty has become somewhat adept at writing with my left hand so that recipients do not know who is sending messages of hope and love. Kevin's figured me out, but other people haven't. The grace gift doesn't have to be elaborate, just loving. Words in a card. Fresh baked treats left on a doorstep, Peggy. A basket of flowers. Small yard tasks done anonymously when someone's away. Just enough of a blessing so that their day is brightened by grace, their lives touched by a surprise, an unexpected gift. And their hearts are opened to the possibility of good and love and joy and beauty, even during times of challenge or sorrow. We can collude with grace. We can abet it. We can be the vehicle for grace for another. We can also make it a practice of paying it forward with random acts of kindness. I love that movie, Pay It Forward. Not all grace gifts need be in secret. Some are more obviously given. But grace of the moment is the unexpected gift. A genuine smile to a stranger. A warm greeting to all you pass on the street, friends and strangers alike. The invitation to the car to merge in the messiest of traffic when they're not expecting it. The offer to mow your elderly neighbor's yard or shovel their driveway. Payment for the car behind you in the drive-thru. A genuinely kind word of appreciation for those who don't usually receive it, the bank teller, the cashier, the busboy. In these ways, we upend the me versus you competitiveness that has us all racing to be first, and we connect with grace by connecting with another, by allowing ourselves to be vehicles for grace. These moments have the potential to be the small kindness that echoes in that other person's soul at the moment of their greatest need. Grace is that unexpected gift that manifests in our lives when we need it, quietly calling to our souls, beckoning us out of our pain and sorrow, reminding us to notice life and love and beauty and joy. And how are we asked to respond to grace? How do we respond to the call of life and love and beauty and joy, to which we need only open our ears and eyes and hearts and souls? 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart counsels that if thank you is the only prayer you say in your entire life, it will be enough. Our best response to grace is a simple and deeply felt thank you. Not perfunctory or obligatory, but gratitude as an experience that truly moves us, that opens our hearts and souls. When we pause and allow ourselves to experience true, deep, profound gratitude, we step beyond ourselves, however briefly, into that spirit of life and love and beauty and joy. To cultivate our own sensitivity to an experience of grace, we might begin by cultivating a practice of gratitude, by taking a few minutes each day to simply say our thank yous. This practice may start simply with those persons and experiences closest to us, but over time, if we keep going, we will notice a shift. We begin to feel more grateful, and we begin to notice and appreciate those things we may not have thought of before, or even noticed. In this way, we begin to open to grace, to life and love and beauty and generosity and joy. We feel moments of awareness and connection to that something more of life. Grace works. It is the call to the something more of life, to lift our eyes from the screen before us to the beauty of the mountains at sunset, the bright sun and the true blue sky, the snow atop a Halloween pumpkin. For truly, it was graceful yesterday, the way the snow played with the oranges and reds and yellows of the leaves, a portrait of color and a collision of seasons which beckoned us, beckoned all of us to notice. That is grace, the unexpected gift of beauty. We need notice, and we say, thank you. May our lives continue to be blessed by such moments of grace to call us to the fullness of life and love and joy and beauty. May we open ourselves to these moments, noticing the gift before us. May we collude with and abet grace, and may our graceful prayer be, thank you.